Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're joined by one of my favorite members of the House of Representatives. He is Congressman Chris Stewart. He is the representative of the people of the 2nd District of Utah and a member of several very important committees in the Congress, notably the House Appropriations Committee, where he serves on its Homeland Security and State and Foreign Operations subcommittees. He is also a member of the House Intelligence Committee and has served some 14 years with great distinction in the United States Air Force, including setting a world nonstop flight record in a B-1 bomber. He's also an author, including a brand new novel, Winter Sky. We're always delighted to have him with us. Congressman, welcome back. Good to have you, sir.
And my greatest claim to fame is being a friend of Frank Gaffney.
I will take that for the record book, and I feel the same. Listen, Congressman, with all of your personal experience in the United States military, in the Intelligence Committee, overseeing Homeland Security and the Appropriations Committee, you must be troubled beyond words about the spectacle that is unfolding here. We've been talking about it with Joe DeGeneva earlier in the program with my colleague Fred Flights just before you. But give us a flavor of what you've learned and what you think the implications are of what you've learned concerning Hillary Clinton's conduct of, or misconduct, I guess I should say, of classified information and activities.
Well, as a member of the Intelligence Committee, this is what I can tell you. She has revealed classified means, she has revealed classified methods, and most troubling, she revealed classified human assets. And she did that so she could deceive the American people. She simply didn't want her emails, her interactions with the Clinton Foundations, her interactions with donors, her interactions with her own staff. She simply didn't want the American people to know about those things. And as a member of the military and someone, again, on the Intel Committee, if I had ever done these things, do you think I would be a viable candidate for president? I'd be sitting in jail somewhere. And I think that's the most troubling thing that most Americans understand. They don't really understand the intricacies of what these emails were or what they contained, but they do sense that she's treated differently than someone else would be. And that's the most troubling aspect to this for most of them, I think.
Yeah. Joe DeGeneva spoke very powerfully of this as a breach of sort of the fundamental underpinnings of the whole idea of the rule of law, that everybody is subject to the same laws and in standards, and in this case, quite transparently, with apparently the help of the director of the FBI, getting away essentially with a double standard that benefits the Clintons. Could I ask you about the latest?
And if I could just very quickly, it even goes above the FBI director. Twice, on two different occasions, the President of the United States, while this investigation was underway, said, no, there's nothing there. She didn't do anything wrong. She didn't endanger national security. Well, how in the world did he know that? And how in the world are those who work for him, for example, the Justice Department or members of the FBI, supposed to read that their president, their commander-in-chief, is proclaiming that she's innocent before they conclude their investigation? And I think that's where it starts. It starts
at the
very highest levels.
Indeed, in the military, Congressman Chris Stewart, that would be called command influence, would it not? And that would
exactly.
be considered interfering
exactly.
with an investigation and unlawful.
Yep.
Speaking of your service in the military, Congressman, I did want to hit one other topic. Hillary Clinton is making much at the moment, as we discussed with Fred Flights a moment ago, of Donald Trump's temperament disqualifying him from having his finger anywhere near the nuclear button. As a man who actually had as a duty assignment the potentially very, very challenging mission of delivering nuclear ordnance, I would ask you, not as a partisan, but in as objective a way as you can, do you have concerns on that score, and should the rest of us?
No, I don't. For one thing, the process around that is so meticulous. It's not like the president is carrying around this briefcase that he opens up and fiddles with every once in a while, that if he gets a bad day, he can launch nuclear missiles. It's not like that at all. And the second thing is, look, everyone has human frailties and weaknesses. And for heaven's sakes, tell me Hillary Clinton doesn't. I don't remember hearing stories of Donald Trump raging and throwing vases at his wife, like I've heard about Secretary Clinton. So I think that the process understands that there's a human element, that you have to take out the emotion, and it makes it insulates it from that type of an input. But more than that, I just don't think Mr. Trump has demonstrated an instability that would cause people to say they couldn't trust him with that. I don't think that's true at all.
You know, there have been some controversy, speaking of all this process you're talking about, that that under certain circumstances, it could be a very short period of time in which the command authority has to be exercised by the president. Were you struck or troubled by the fact that Hillary Clinton got into some specificity about that timeline in her debate with Donald Trump?
Yeah, having worked in that world for a long time while I was in the military, it's something you're just extraordinarily careful about. I mean, you never, ever talk about those things. And part of the reason is, there's a mix of what's classified, what's unclassified, and what's extraordinarily classified. And you often don't remember where that line is. So you just choose not to talk about it. I think it would have been better had she not discussed it. But I also happen to know that the information she revealed has been out there for a long time. It's been out there for decades, actually. So I don't think she revealed classified information in this case. I think she did in others. But I just think she's better not to talk about that realm. It's just one of those things that's better left unsaid.
Yeah. Congressman, let me turn to current military operations. As you know, we are currently serving as kind of the Air Force for Iraqi military units and militia and Kurdish Peshmerga and others in the assault on Mosul in Iraq at the moment. It seems to be moving forward, as one would hope it would. What have we learned from the operation to date? What do you think are its chances of ultimately successfully defeating ISIS there? And more to the point, what's likely to come next?
Yeah, all good questions. You know, Mosul is a very, very important battleground for us. I mean, other than Baghdad, it is one of the keys to retaking Western Iraq. And a couple things that I think are worthy of note. One is that it's good to know that the Iraqi forces are performing on the battlefield, because we know that in certain circumstances in the past, they haven't. Their leaders are leading and their soldiers are fighting, and that's good. The second thing is we're reminded again of just the utter inhumanity of ISIS. Oh, my heavens. You know, they brought in hundreds and hundreds of children from Syria to be used as human shields. We now don't know that more than 300 of these children have been killed. Just yesterday, they killed more than 50 of their own fighters and cut off the ears of another 20 of their own fighters because they had performed poorly on the battlefield. This is an incredibly evil, inhumane organization that just has to be defeated. It's just essential for Western civilization to defeat this organization. And we're going to need our Iraqi counterparts to do that. The good news is I think that's taking place. And as to what comes next, I think we got to decide and kind of learn some lessons from Mosul and then look at, what is our next battle and how would we approach that?
Are you concerned, as am I, Congressman Chris Stewart, that there seems to be such a preoccupation with the Islamic State, and I stipulate to all of the things that you've said about it and the necessity of defeating it, but that somehow if we do, that will take care of the larger, global jihad movement, of which it is just one perhaps particularly horrific manifestation? Is that a concern you have in talking to your colleagues on the Hill, that we may not fully still understand the magnitude of the challenge we're facing, let alone be prepared to deal with it?
Yeah, Frank, and I think that's a great point. And that's a point where you have so much so much authority, and you're a great voice on that. And, there is kind of, I believe, a perception with some people that once we defeated ISIS, that whole thing is taken care of and we can go on about our lives. And that's just not the case. I mean, this has manifested itself throughout the world, including here in the United States, as you talk about frequently. And I would add one other element to this, and it's shifting gears a little bit, but not really. But in the fight for our own national security, for years now, we have been so concerned and so committed to, the fight against Islamic terrorism that we've forgotten. And we have not allocated resources to much more strategic challenges like Russia, like Vladimir Putin, like the rise of China. And I just think those are also very important and very strategic concerns that we need to not forget as well as we concentrate on this one element.
These are very much on our minds. We appreciate your leadership in addressing them on Capitol Hill, as well as so many other issues as a member of the Appropriations and Intelligence Committees. Congressman Chris Stewart, come back to us again, if you would, very soon. Next up, Claudia Rosette joins us. That and more, straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.